All right, go ahead and grab a seat. It's great to have you with us this morning. You know, that song by U2 really, really kind of captures, exemplifies what we're talking about through this series over these 4 weeks, the Backyard Gospel. This sense of, you know, last week we looked at how, you know, whenever something has positively affected my life, I naturally want to share that. I mean, it naturally comes out. It like naturally seeps out of my life into your life, into the people around me. And think about the lyrics of that song. You know, all because of you, all because of you, I am. I mean, the sense that, hey, something is built into me, something has poured into my life, and because of that, you know, I am who I am, and that just naturally begins to be expressed to other people. And so, really glad you're here this morning. Again, my name's Kurt. I'm the, what they call a pastor around here, and, you know, that's my role, and yet really excited. You know, you could be a lot of places today, and we're really excited that you've chosen to join us this morning. And I'm really excited about this series that we're in. I mean, this is kind of like my backyard right here. I mean, this is what we do in the backyard. And you know, we're talking about how, you know, it's not just in the backyard of our homes, but there are backyards of our lives, the places where we, in somewhat repetitious way, have connections with people in our lives. Today, we're going to be taking a look at the workplace, the place where we spend, if you are at work in any way, shape, or form, that's where you spend a majority of your waking hours during the week. And what does it look like in those settings? For you know our faith, for the good things that have happened in our lives as a response or a result of Jesus being in our lives, how does that just kind of naturally express itself out in those environments? And so last week we looked at this idea of the word gospel and how the word gospel is not a biblical word. It actually predated the New Testament. The word gospel was along well before Jesus ever came. And so the word gospel, in fact, the ancient definition of this, it actually means good news. And so, you know, anyone who shares the good news in ancient times was known as an evangelist. All right, now an evangelist, I mean, that's a big word, right? I mean, when you think of the word evangelist, what comes to your mind? You think of like bad suit, bad haircut, you know, bad attitude, somebody showing up on your doorstep, knocking on the door, you know, trying to force their way into your home to share Jesus, or somebody standing on the street corner, you know, just kind of barking into a bullhorn. And I mean, yeah, there aren't good connotations that go with this, but an evangelist, this is actually not what an evangelist is. I mean, the scene we saw from Modern Family a few moments ago, that the doctor in that scene, who we never saw, but we got the sense through the conversation, the doctor was an evangelist. The doctor was somebody who heralded good news, somebody who shares good news. In fact, an evangelist is somebody who's received something of value and they're choosing to share it on, to share it with others. And so I know here at Crosspoint, you know, every week when we come into this place, we have people from all kinds of different spiritual orientations. I know there are many people here who kind of assent and affirm and believe Jesus is really who he says that he is and that you've received from him. I know that we have other people here this morning, as we do every week, that really, you know, don't have much respect for the Bible, don't have much respect for Jesus, and you're here just kind of trying to figure out what it would look like if you did have respect for those things. And so let me just say, regardless of where you are, where you know, whatever spiritual orientation you've come from, I mean, we're excited you're here. We're glad you're here and you're kind of working this out. And I know specifically that not all of us are in the place of being ready to share the gospel as we're talking about during this series. You know, this is not where you are, but my hope, my prayer, is that throughout this series is that you'll come to the place of saying, you know, I'm seeing something. I'm seeing a picture of who Jesus is, or getting a glimpse of him that maybe you've never had before. And so last week, I shared some good news with you. I shared some good news of how I've saved thousands of dollars over the last number of years by taking my car to my auto mechanic. Because everybody needs an auto mechanic, right? Everybody needs a great auto mechanic. I gave some free advertising. You benefited from that. I know a few of you have already called him this week because you've told me that. And you know, and that's good news. And in fact, Julie and I one time sat down. We realized we probably sent 40 to 50 of our friends to Dave Mason Auto up in Noblesville. He's one of my former neighbors. And I just sat down with him one day. I'm like, who do you know that we knew? No. And we began talking about people. And you know what I realized? After last week, I should have arranged a cut off of his profit after giving him advertisement. Because I know many of you are going to go that direction because that's good news. And that doesn't really matter because I'm excited about the good news of you saving money when it comes to auto repairs. And yet, that doesn't really compare for me in terms of what it looks like when I see somebody come into an awareness of the grace that God offers them, of the fact that God lowered himself down in the form of flesh and love and made his presence known here on this earth in a way that helped show us what it means to know him, what it means to follow him, and ultimately that he took all of our stuff on his back so that we didn't have it on ours and so that we could live out of grace. I mean, that's really good news. And that's the kind of news that we're looking at that we naturally want to share when we've experienced it, is how it naturally ekes out into other people's lives. In fact, Jesus, he said something about this. In fact, in the book of Mark, he said, take the gospel to all of the world. He said, you know, take it into the athletic sectors, take it into the commerce sectors, take it into the civic associations, you know, into every place where you interact with people. You know, be the kind of people where the good things that have happened to you just kind of naturally seep out of your life into other people's lives. And for many of us, this happens in a variety of ways. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, he actually talks about the process that takes place when this happens. In fact, here's what he says. He says, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor, for we are God's fellow workers. Now, what's interesting about that is, you know, as I think back, you know, I have a faith. I've received from Christ. I've received grace from Christ, and yet that didn't just like happen one day. I mean, there was somebody who kind of planted ideas into my life. There was somebody who watered those ideas and those seeds that were in my life before they ever shot through the surface, shot through the soil. And then there was somebody that was there that kind of was at the harvest end or the reaping end when I, you know, kind of carried me that last 10% when I finally came into that place of having a relationship with Jesus. And one of the realities is that, you know, all of us are at different stages in this. We're all at different places in this. And yet the reality is it takes work. I mean, it takes work. These things don't just happen on their own. And so, you know, speaking of work, you know, by the way, you know, my job is a little unique. And I realize that. I mean, I realize every once in a while when I'm talking up here on stage, I realize that, you know, for some of you, you know, I may be sharing an idea or even what we're talking about right now as we talk about taking our faith into the workplace. You know, I'm just different because I get my check from a church, right? I mean, there's only like four of you here, including myself, that gets a check from this church. And so, you know, I'm a bit different. And it would be easy for you to justifiably say, you know, Kurt, come on, dude. I mean, you do not know what it's like to walk into my workplace, my cube farm, the place where I interact in corporate America, and to share my faith. You just don't get what that's like when your paycheck doesn't come from that place. And what I would say to you is great point. Great point. You're right on. And so today I'm bringing in reinforcements. That's what I'm going to do. So I have asked one of my really good friends to come and share for the rest of our teaching time today. And he's going to come share with you. He's a really close friend, really good friend. We spent a lot of time together outside of here, but along the sidelines of athletic fields and a number of places. And he came in kind of as entry level into Stanley Security Solutions a number of years ago. And he has worked his way up to a director of sales, national director of sales for the organization. In fact, he's working on things right now. They're actually going to change the face of how his company does business. And so he's going to share with us this morning. And let me tell you what, you're going to be blessed. I am blessed every time that I spend time with him. So help me welcome my good friend to the stage, Paul Hevesy. Paul, great to have you, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Thanks, Kurt. Appreciate that. Hey, really want to first and foremost thank Kurt and PJ and the CrossPoint team for giving me an opportunity to be here and share a little bit with you. I'm honored to be here. I really am. And talk about this topic of how you reflect God in the workplace. And I think it's something that's near and dear to my heart. And it's something that's, I think we all kind of hopefully have wherever you work, even if you work out of the home, there is this tension that builds between, hey, I want to be able to reflect God in my life, but I also don't want to drive people away. And that's an important phrase, how I phrase that, because I thought about other ways to say it, like, hey, I want to reflect God that doesn't in a way that doesn't offend people. And I thought, you know what, that's okay, actually, if I offend some people, right, when it comes to sharing my faith. I can tell you one thing, Jesus offended a lot of folks, right? That was kind of one of the things that he did, and he just really didn't care. And so offended isn't what I'm talking about. I think the balance between reflecting God and being somebody that God wants you to be in the workplace without driving people away. And I think that's a tough balance, and it's something I really want to spend some time on this morning and give you just some ideas, some of the things that I've been working through. I think the big thing for me as we get started, though, is making sure we understand our place there. I think a lot of times we think, and at least I do, hey, I gotta say the right thing at the right time, right? I gotta say Jesus when I'm supposed to say Jesus. And I gotta do the right thing. I gotta say it. I gotta save people, right? That's my job. I got to save people. Here's the awesome news today. No, you don't. Not up to you. Not up to you at all. In fact, the thing I want to make sure we walk out of here today is recognizing that we don't save anybody. All the saving that happens is that's God's work. And he says it very clearly. Hey, yo, that's up to me. All right, everything else, the seeds that you plant, the good words that you give to people, the good deeds that you do, that's all part of it. But that doesn't save you. In fact, there's entire religions, you may have run into some of them even this weekend, that believe it's up to them to save people. So they go and they knock on doors and they got to save as many as possible to earn their way. And the wonderful thing about God's grace is not up to us. And so the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians talks about that. And it's actually the two verses in chapter 3 in 1 Corinthians right before the two that Kurt just shared. I think they're really important to kind of drive this point home as we get started. It says this, I planted the seed and Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants it nor the one who waters is anything. Nothing, but only God who makes it grow. So I think that's a great starting point for us as we talk about, I'm going to share some stories and share some thoughts on how to reflect God and Christ in the workplace. And there's going to be, hopefully I'll challenge you on some things, but at the end of the day, it's all about God and what he's doing. And the great thing is for those who accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, he says, hey, I got some work for you to do. And it's not to save people, it's to reflect me. So that's the starting off point for us. Maybe that's really important for me. So as Kurt and I were talking a little bit about, hey, let's talk about sharing Christ in the workplace. I thought about a lot of things. And I thought, you know what? I'm from corporate America. We might as well make this thing corporate, right? Well, let's just go for it. I got my shirt tucked in, right? That's right. I wore jeans, though, so that's a little out of my norm here. But hey, the other thing that makes sense in corporate America is five things, right? The five things you got to do to be successful. That sounds right, doesn't it? Well, I got five things today. We're going to talk about them. And I think these are the things, the five things I'm going to share with you are some things that I use on a daily basis. And as I think through it and as I thought through this message today, I thought about, hey, these are the five things that are part of me. And they are there, hopefully, as much as possible, reflective of Christ in my life. And I know, you know, I'm the first one, and I've got a nice little story at the end that'll indicate that I do not have this figured out by any stretch of the imagination. But these kind of five things are kind of guideposts for me as I go. So, you ready? Five things. You don't look ready. I'm serious. I mean, all right, let's go. First one, bias for action, right? This is one of the most simple ones, right? This is make it happen, get it done, be proactive, right? Don't wait for somebody to tell you what to do. So when I think of folks that are like this, I think of folks like Moses, right? I think of Michael Jordan, right? I think of the 12 disciples, right? Those 12 guys, remember this? Remember this scene? Jesus dies, raises from the dead, and then goes to heaven, right? And these 12 dudes are standing there like, seriously? Now what, right? Now what? I don't know. I thought you knew. I don't know. What are you, right? 2,000 years later, I'm standing here, you're here, and we're part of a movement that's changed the world because 12 guys, in my opinion, if you boil it all down, said, all right, let's get to it. Time to go, right? So that bias for action is really, really important thing. For me, it sums it up this way. I would rather explain why I did something in a corporate context. I'd rather explain why I did something or why my team did something than explain why I didn't, right? I'd rather explain why we did something than try to explain why we didn't. And that for me, kind of encapsulates this whole bias for action concept. And this, for me, is one of the easiest ways to reflect Christ. Right? Because you think of all the people that are kind of waiting around, well, I saw that coming, right? How many times you heard that? Well, I could have told you. Well, why didn't you, right? That would have been awesome, okay? Bias for action, number one. Second one, commitment to the business, right? Now, business in this context, put it in whatever context you would have put it in, right? For me, put it in the context of my of the business that I'm a part of, right? Let's demonstrate an absolute commitment to the business. So to me, few things reflect our faith. Now, hang with me for a second. Few things reflect our faith better or more than kind of a pure, unselfish commitment to the organization you work for. And I know that's kind of, what do you call that? That's brown nosing or kind of cheesy or whatever. But if you think through that, it's just kind of a pure, unselfish commitment every day to what your organization is trying to do. First of all, that's infectious, right? That gets into the skin of some people, which is good, right? But it also, you know, people kind of have a tendency to follow that as well. Because everybody else around is what? Negative, right? Everybody else is around, this is not going to work. This place, I've never seen these people. What about that guy over there? Right? All that stuff is being talked about all the time, right? So this kind of, as we demonstrate a commitment to what the organization is doing and trying to accomplish, that reflects our faith in a way. Paul talks about it this way in his letter to Colossians. Really, like there's just kind of two ways that I want to look at this. One through the NIV version of the Bible, and the other one through the Message. So the first one says this, Colossians 3, 22 and 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, right? Oh, that sounds great. Like we put that like on a, like a little, like right here, right? Right? That sounds great. The Message, I think, is really kind of drives it home for me, right? In the Message, it says, hey, and don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best, right? Don't just do the minimum. Do the absolute best you can do. And when you do, you reflect God. When you do, you reflect Christ. So here's something I know. And as I thought through this, I thought, wow, this might offend somebody. I'm doing it. Right? Whenever I kind of put a message like this together, I'm thinking, that might be offensive. It's in. It's in the mix. So here you go. So listen up. I think this is absolutely true in my life. And I'll put it this way. I said it in my notes, I'll put it, my level of commitment to my work, whatever that work is, directly reflects my level of commitment to my faith. My level of commitment to my work, whatever that work is directly reflective. It directly reflects my level of commitment to my faith. So I think, you know, that it's a stewardship thing. And so to me, there's some stuff later on in some of my thoughts where I talk about stewardship. But this is a stewardship thing, right? God's given us work to do. Whatever that work is, even if you don't get paid for it, it's work that he's given us to do, and demonstrating a level of commitment to that work directly reflects the so my opinion is, hey, if I'm not giving on my all to the work that God's given me, chances are probably not giving all the effort I need to my faith as well, and growing and develop my faith as well. So just a thought for you there. So first one, bias for action. Second one, commitment to the business. Third one, focus on people. This one is great, but really hard, especially if you're really good at the previous one, right? You're really good at, you got a great commitment to the business. Typically, the fruit of that is, I don't care about anybody or anything. I'm going after what's mine, right? So that's why this focus on the people is in here, because it kind of balances that out and says, hey, yo, easy cowboy, right? Time to absolutely be committed, but there's people along the way that are helping you get there. There's people along the way that God has put in the path of that he's looking for you to focus on. So very kind of common phrase, you may have heard it before, but it's always sticks with me. It's very appropriate here in this principle, is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that, to me, that's that the focus on the people part of this that's so important. So it's so easy to get tied up in me. What's this mean for me? Where are we going? You know, especially as you work and as I've been doing the last few years, trying to transform different things in our business. The easy thoughts are, hey, what does this mean for me? Right? And the mix here, what focus on the people principle does for me is it starts to shift that, right? It says, okay, forget about me for a minute. What's it do for the people around me? And how can I be a part of transforming them and helping them as well? So to me, this principle kind of plays itself out in two ways. First way is a story. Some of you, if you heard my message a few months ago, I read an email that I had put together after one of our sales guys had passed away suddenly last year, actually almost a year in October. And as I was speaking with his wife and talking about all the things you never want to talk about with a spouse of someone who's just passed away, right? At least me. Things like life insurance paperwork and how do we get his computer and his equipment back, and what's his final commission payment going to be, and how do we get that? Just all that stuff that you never want to talk about. So in those conversations, she kind of relayed a story to me that well, it's just interesting because I had kind of forgotten about it. But he had before he had passed, he and his wife had talked a lot about an email that I had sent him years, and I've sent him a lot of emails. Anybody who works for me gets a lot of emails from me, unfortunately. But one of the things he said to his wife is he said, one email was, I just shot him a note back. We're having a conversation about something. I said, hey, keep up the good work. I'm praying for you. And so now he's passed, right? He's gone. His wife is talking to me, and she said, I just wanted you to know that we talked about that often. Every time we talked about it, he actually got emotional about somebody like you in your position, whatever that position may be, would not only say that, but actually do that. And it had a really deep impact on him. Now, the good news is, I did pray for him. And so that's always important when you say, hey, I'll pray for you. Just good idea to do it, right? Kind of follow through with that thing, right? Even at that moment. And sometimes it's just that moment, right? Sometimes it's, hey, I'll pray for you, send. I'm going to take the next 10 seconds and just lift him up. And so I did do that, but that was something, and when she had mentioned that, I had forgotten that. I had forgotten that I had sent that, and because I'm a little bit of a pack rat when it comes to emails, I actually went back and found it. And so that was, to me, that's the focus on the people principle there that's really, and the impact that has that sometimes we never even recognize, we already know. So that was really important for me. Kind of the second thing I do, real kind of practical application for whatever it's worth. A lot of people I work with is in corporate America is very fast and furious, right? So one of the things that I've done is it's easy for me to get this information, by the way. Anybody can get it in our corporate email is their birth date, not the year they were born, but the month and day. And so I take, so anybody on my team, I take that information and it took me maybe 2 hours one day and I gathered all that information. I put it in my calendar and I put it as a recurring meeting once a year on their birthday and their company anniversary when they started with the company. There's this little, you may have heard of it, it's called JibJab. So JibJab allows you to take pictures and put people's pictures of their heads on like dancing bodies, right? Just think through that for a second. It's awesome. So what I'll do in the morning, whenever there is a birthday, that's the first thing that comes up, and I'll spend, and if anybody comes in my office at like 6:15 in the morning, I'm working on JibJab, like resizing somebody's head on like a stick figure. I'm like, hey, there is serious work going on right here. I gotta. So I'll send that to him. And I'm always amazed. People send me emails like, I can't believe you remember my birthday. That's so awesome. I can't believe it, right? Just a little thing like that, focusing on people. So what is it that you can do this week, right? I feel like I'm in Upstreet right now. What's one thing you can do this week that you can demonstrate a focus on people? I'm always amazed, just the little things. Hey, I'm praying for you. Hey, here's your head on a stick figure. Awesome, right? Focus on people, that's three. Fourth one, Expect to win. Expect to win. This is a big one for me. So in sales, you'd expect me to say, hey, we got to expect to win. From a sales perspective, when you're a sales guy waking up and you don't think you can win, that's not a good thing, right? So I spent a lot of time talking, hey, we have got to expect to win. And people ultimately, this principle is all about inspiration, right? People want to be inspired. People want to win. And so let's be those folks that inspire people to do better, to be better, to win. That's what this is really for me is all about. So recently I heard one of my coworkers overheard him talk to another coworker, and I was eavesdropping a little bit, but I think he intended me to hear this. He said, hey, every time I need a pick-me-up, every time I'm having one of those days that is just not going well, I call Paul. Or I walk into his office, and I always walk away re-energized, right? So I know that's a little bit about me, and I try not to do that, but I felt like that fit here. And as I was thinking about that, it makes me feel good. That's warm and fuzzy. That's awesome, right? But for me, as I thought through that, what was really important for me was I thought to myself, well, why shouldn't I be, right? Why shouldn't I be the guy that when somebody walks through my path, feels better, right? Why shouldn't, because why? Because I have been given a free gift of salvation. I've got Jesus in my life, and Jesus, the guy who lived a sinless life, he died, rose again, and said, hey, you don't have to do that. You don't have to go through that because I went through it for you. Why shouldn't I be the most positive guy in the room? Because I've got that. That should absolutely be what people see in me. That should absolutely be a reflection of what I do and what I say. So that expectation, hey, you know what? I've already won. Whatever it is, whatever I go through, whatever's ahead of me, through Jesus, I've already won. So if I'm not expecting to win, I'm just not paying enough attention, right? So that expectation was really important for me. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 5. And I want to just kind of walk through this real quick because it's really important to me. He says, let me tell you why you are here. And this is from the Message. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. To me, it's that flavor, right? People, and I know people's personalities are different. I understand that. But at some point, every interaction that you have, adding flavor to their lives. And remember, we don't make things grow. We don't save people. All we do is plant seeds, and we water it along the waves in people's journeys to Christ. So all we've got to do is add some flavor. All I'm saying is add some flavor along the way. Plus, it's fun, and one of the best ways to do that is smile, right? That's a start. You're never fully dressed without a smile, right? That's off script right now. What movie? Annie, thank you. All right. Now, I know at this point you're thinking to yourself, Paul, there's got to be one more. I mean, it's four. It's got to be, you know what? There is. Yes. Courage to develop others. The courage to develop others is kind of the final one for me that ties a lot of this together, because it does take courage to develop people around us, to take the time away from us and to develop others around us and add into their lives and add value to what they're doing. And this is, to me, this is all about stewardship, right? Kind of that extra unsolicited effort to make people and things around us better than when we found it, to add that level of value to them. So one example of this as I finish up is a movie called The Earthling. It's an old school movie, as old school as I can be, right? But, you know, late 70s, a little guy named Ricky Schroeder was one of the main characters, a little kid, 10-year-old kid in the movie. And the movie's about a guy who's been diagnosed with some kind of terminal disease, and he's hiking, he's on his final journey into the Australian outback. He's journeying back to where the place he was born to die. And that's his whole thing. A little dark, I know, but hang with me, right? So he's going through this journey. It's his final journey of life, and he wants to do it alone and be alone with his thoughts as he goes. And as he's going through the outback, there's this family, a husband, a wife, and a small child, Ricky. And in the movie, his name is Sean, and they are traveling through the outback as well. And at one point in the movie, the small child, Ricky's out, or Sean in this case, is out of the camper, and the camper goes over the cliff with his parents inside. So now he's all alone in the Australian outback, right? And the scene is great in the movie. Just on the next kind of cliff outcropping over stands Foley. This guy's Foley, right? The guy who's going to just, he's minding his own business, right? I'm just trying to die here, right? And he witnesses this, right? And so I'll pick it up with Wikipedia here. Wikipedia says, kind of describing the movie, it says, Foley has an ethical dilemma. Take the stranded 10-year-old back to civilization and lose his own wish to die where he was born, or continue his personal mission and let the boy die alone in the wilderness. He decides to take the boy with him and teaches him along the way how to survive in the wilderness. A strong bond grows between the two, and when Foley finally dies, Sean, the child, is equipped to travel out of the outback alone. And so to me, that summarizes this courage that it takes as believers in Christ, as those of us who are looking to reflect Christ in everything we do, especially in the workplace. That's that courage that it takes to say, "Ah, dude, seriously, I had my thing, I had it all planned out, I was ready to go, I didn't need, and now this," right? And I've found that God loves to do that to us, right? Right when we have it all planned out, we got it all figured out, he challenges us to have the courage to develop somebody, puts folks in our way along the way. So to me, that fifth principle is really important, and it does take courage. It doesn't just happen. It's really important to us. So those are the five. Do you feel different after hearing the five? Come on. Okay. Don't overdo it, because I will. All right, so just don't. So for me, those are the five kind of guideposts as I go along, as I kind of walk through life. And as I said at the beginning, they are a part of me, right? So they are who I am. And so checking those at the door when I go into the workplace, it doesn't make sense for me. I can't do it. They are a part of me. They're intertwined to who I am. And so what I do know is at the end of the day, I don't always do these things. Right, they sound great, and they're five, and you know what? You know what the only thing that's missing from these five is a really good acronym to tie them all together, right? But look through it. I've tried. There is no good acronym there, right? But it's great. It looks great. There's five. Hey, tie them all together. Got some great stories. Got some scriptures. But reality is they're tough. They're tough to live out every day when life happens. And so for me, that was no more present for me when I met up with one of my coworkers who, through the course of conversation, found out that he was a believer as well. And so we were sitting over lunch recently, and I asked the question. I said, "Hey, now that I know you're a believer and you know I'm a believer, let me ask you a question," right? And I was all geared up. This kind of great self-actualized question, right? You ready? I said, "Hey, before you knew I was a believer, did you know I was a believer?" Right, I thought, "Oh man, I'm going to get some good feedback here," right? And it was his hesitation, right? The hesitation that told me I still got a lot of work to do.
You know, one of the things I love about Paul is Paul keeps it real. And what you share right there, I mean, that's where all of us are probably. You know, we're in those places where, you know, we can talk about how our high points, but we're all about saying, you know, we're all at places where we can still do more work. Now, you know, I know, Paul, for you, let's just dialogue in this real quick before we wrap up. Really good principles. I mean, you know, when we were dialogue, we were actually working this out on the soccer field, sidelines of soccer fields this week, as we were talking about, you know, watching our girls play. And he said, man, I got these five things, and you know, but they're more like, this is what drives me. And I'm like, and as he said, I'm like, this is who you are. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the person I know right here. And this is how he shares God out of his life, how it leaks out mm-hmm. into people he works with. And let me ask you, you know, your management, mm-hmm. how many directors do they have at Stanley? Vice presidents, a bunch?
Yeah, quite a few.
A bunch, so right. You're not all that important after right. all. There's no. A whole bunch of them. And so, you know.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate that.
Just bringing him down to reality. You know, that's what we do for each other.
I needed so, that right but, there. I needed that.
But here's the deal. So, like, your management, and so yep. it would be easy to say, well, dude, yes. Paul can do that. I mean, Paul is the boss.
Right.
I mean, you lead over 100 salespeople mm-hmm. nationally. Mm-hmm. You can pretty much do what you want to do within reason. Right. But what about the entry-level guy or yep. girl? What about somebody just coming in, you know? I mean, do they have the ability to kind of still not check who they are at the door?
Right, sure.
What would that look like for you? I mean, you were entry-level one day.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think you're right. I mean, people have to... They have to kind of do what I say, right, because of the title, and they, you know, they put the five things. I do remember some guy bragging to me that he had the five things, these five principles on his screensaver. Like, awesome, dude. Awesome. You're not getting that raise you asked about, but that's awesome. No. So you're right. I mean, people have to do to a certain degree, and it's easy for me, and it looks good on a PowerPoint and that kind of thing, but reality is I remember when I first took kind of my first big leadership role, I really felt like I was leading a group of people that didn't really know me at all. And I really felt like the first time I met them, I wanted to put something together, you know, three or four things that that they could take away that said, hey, this is kind of defines who Paul is, this kind of direction we're going. And the first four things that the first four of the five, I still remember this day on an airplane thinking to myself, I got to put something on paper. I scratched those four things out. And they stuck, you know. Usually that doesn't usually work. It's usually like 10 or 12 things and you kind of line through it and whatever, but I just kind of wrote them out, and it told me that, hey, these are some things that are important to me that I just simply had to verbalize. So I think for the challenge for all of us, me included, is what are those three or four things that are going to guide us on a continual basis? Mm-hmm. And we may not have an opportunity in our current role to articulate them like I have, but what are the things that kind of guide us and are guideposts along the way for us? And that's how it fit for me.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Well, you know, this is really helpful. And, you know, I want you to think about your workplaces. I mean, as you know, wherever that is, whether it's home, whether it's the Cube Farm, whether it's a warehouse somewhere, you know, under a car in a garage. I mean, you know, in your workplace, what does this look like? You know, because our tendency is to say, man, when I go to work, I check my faith at the door. I leave it there. I can't. And I'm not talking about wearing Jesus on your sleeve. I mean, that's not what Paul does. But he's like, hey, there are ways that who you are and what God has done in your life can naturally just kind of eke out into the people around you every day. In fact, they may come back around and you may make differences in people's lives you never knew. But you gotta have a bias to action. Great, yeah. Great five points. So as we process this, take out your connection cards. We referred to these earlier this morning, and on the back side are some next steps. And every week, you know, that you're here, if it's your first time with us, then you're gonna walk through this today. If you've been here before, you know, we do this every week. We care way too much about you to just let you walk out and say, oh man, that's great, Paul had five great things to say, and then forget about it. We really want you to kind of take this in and digest it and say, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for me this week? And so on the back side of that connection card are some steps that you can just kind of say, hey, here's my next step as a result of today. I mean, as I've been here, as I've listened, as I've just kind of been open to where I am, I'm thinking about my coworkers, you know, what's your step this week? What's the thing that you can do or you can be attentive to as you walk into this work week? You're going to spend a significant amount of time of your waking hours in work this week, wherever your work is. And I firmly believe God really wants to use you there. So as you fill that out, the band's going to sing a song. I want you to listen to these words and just talks about, you know, man, I cry out to you. God, you have met me. You've given me a hope, as Paul talked about, that man, it naturally just needs to come out. And so take a listen to this song, mark your next step, and just see how God moves you.